Good morning to all of you. It's great to be here. That pause in the worship service was to try to see if we could play a video from Vanuatu, but we couldn't get it to play, so it's no big deal. They did a great job up there. You know, sometimes the equipment doesn't work, but it's okay. Janet and I are just blessed to be able to worship together. I don't know how, if you really think about how blessed you are, you know, as you're sitting there in your chair this morning, the pew that you're sitting in is probably padded, right? It's got some cushion on it. In Vanuatu, it's just a hard bench if you have a bench. So we're blessed. I don't know how many of you have flies flying around your face right now, but there are no flies in here. And if you were in Vanuatu, you'd be shooing away flies because depending on the season, they get to be obnoxious. So it's almost like when the service starts, the flies come out. So aren't we blessed? And with a sound system and lights and everything, wow, God is good to us. This morning, I would like to just share with you a little bit about the subject of faith. I'd like you to think about your faith today. How's your walk with God? And has He brought you through some exciting times and through some challenging times? Recently, in Vanuatu, I faced some very difficult situations, and my faith was really challenged. So, just want to share with you about a situation that happened to us, and maybe you can identify with some of the challenges. Maybe you're facing something in your life. Here's my story. We have a church in Vanuatu called Lewatan Community Church. And in October 2009, Janet and I were introduced to a very special man. And his wife, his name was Martin Frazier, and his wife's name was Delilah. Martin was a village chief. That means that he was the boss over a number of people. He was the leader of 90 people of Metalava from the Banks Islands. He was only 51 years old. And he had just finished working 20 years for a Chinese man, and he was going to start up a small business of his own. The day we met Martin and Delilah, I went to his village to meet him. Some people introduced me to him, and Janet and I were there. And I turned the conversation toward the spiritual side. You know, those of us that know the Lord, let's ask him a little bit what they think about God. So I turned it toward the spiritual side and asked him if he knew God. And he says, yeah, I know God. Mm-hmm. Which denomination do you belong to? Because everybody in Vanuatu belongs to some denomination. It's like a rubber stamp. You're in a denomination. So he said, well, I used to belong to a denomination, but I don't anymore. He said, his answer went like this. I'm a Christian, and our family used to belong to the Anglican denomination, but we left that many years ago. We used to attend church on the other side of town, about 5 miles away. But because my knee is weak and it really hurts, he had arthritis in his knee, it hurts too much to walk 5 miles. I haven't been going to church for the past 5 years, and there's nothing any doctor can do about it, so we don't go to church anywhere. That was a sad story. My thoughts turned toward the 90 members of the village and thought about their lost spiritual condition. So I smiled at Martin, easygoing guy, and I said, hey, Martin, what would your answer be when you and I reach heaven? And when we stand before the Lord, if He asks us, hey, Martin, hey, Dwayne, what did you guys do? I blessed your lives. And what would our response be if God said, what would you do about that you didn't share the good news of Jesus Christ to the village people? Martin smiled at me in his good old way. And he said, well, I don't have a good answer for that, Dwayne. In the process of the conversation, I asked Martin, I said, Martin, would you be interested if Janet and I would come to your house and have a Bible study with you once in a while? And he said, sure. So in God's providence, in October of 2009, we started meeting with Martin and his wife and his family in a Bible study. And the study was so good, Martin said, next Sunday, we want you to come. Let's not have the Bible study on Friday, but let's have it Sunday morning at 10 o'clock so that if anybody else wants to come, they can come to the Bible study too. Now, in November, we started this Bible study on Sunday morning, and out of those worship times and Bible studies, Lewatan Community Church was started in 2009. We were happy. We had started a church. And over the years, Martin became my close friend and strong witness, and we went throughout all the islands. And those of you that saw know how Vanuatu is 600 miles, and it's all these islands. We traveled together, and he would take me places that I didn't know anything about. Martin was authentic, and he was flexible, and he had an ability to lead worship. He could sing and play with his guitar. If he was here this morning, he'd have been in this group. He'd have sung, you know, he'd have played his guitar, and you'd have just been all blessed by his music. He was always friendly with people, and he was a great partner for us. But something happened in January last year. While Janet and I were making a short trip to America, we got an email from Vanuatu, and it says, "Pray for Martin. He has a cough that doesn't seem to go away. He's short of breath. He's only not very old." By early March of last year, Martin wasn't getting any better, so I took him to the Luganville Hospital for blood tests and x-rays and ultrasound. We don't have any machines in Vanuatu that'll do an MRI or do any special testing, so that's all they could do was do some blood tests and an x-ray, and what could they find? They told him that he had hepatitis B, and they had a small growth on his lung. Well, we were very hopeful. He'll be just fine, we thought. He'll be just fine. In normal cases of hepatitis B, thousands of people get better every year. So Lord willing, he'll be all right. Every 10 days, I took Martin to the hospital so they could check his blood, have an x-ray and an ultrasound. This process took 4 hours. 4 hours going to a hot hospital, taking Martin there, and they would do the checkups. Eventually, we became good friends with everybody in the hospital. They got to know us on a first-name basis. And they said that his hepatitis needed some medicine, but the hospital didn't have any medicine. I said, "Well, where can we get some?" They said, "We'll have to order it from the capital city, and maybe it'll have to come from Australia." I said, "Well, listen, Martin really means a lot to us. He's my brother, okay? So whatever it takes, you just tell me. If it's going to be $100 or $300, we're going to order this medicine." So they tried to get the medicine, and it was like $110, and he took all this medicine. Some days he took long walks with me, and other days he didn't take walks with me. We met with his family often, and several times during the day and at night, we would all sing together, and the kids or our church and the village would come and sing late at night with him, and sometimes at 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning, they would get up and sing with the guitar, sing worship songs with Martin. We prayed for Martin many times, but nothing seemed to work. Can you believe it? Finally, in May of this last year, two doctors, one from Australia and another one from Netherlands, they came and told us that Martin's hepatitis was getting worse and that his liver was swollen. You know what that means? It's trouble. His liver was swollen and he wasn't getting any better. And for the lack of medical care, we did everything we could. Martin's condition didn't improve from any of the efforts that we did and all of our prayers. And on July 11th, 2016, God took Martin quietly and gently home to be with him. What a challenge and a heartbreaking experience. The village lost an outstanding leader and a chief. And Martin had a strong, clear testimony. Our Lewatan Community Church lost a great elder and a worship leader, a dynamic man. I lost a very good friend and a perfect match and partner for me for my national ministry. It was a sad time. It was hard. It's very hard in Vanuatu to find a godly man, a person who is 100% committed to him. Martin was very serious about his walk with God, and he was a spiritual light in this dark country. Well, after this big loss, Janet and I were reminded of a few things. We are just messengers. And you, here in Wasco, you and I are just messengers. God is the one who brings people to himself. In Galatians chapter 6, it says, "Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. Be faithful." Well, that's my story about loss and a hardship. And maybe you're going through something in your life. And maybe you don't even know you're about to go through something hard in your life. But whatever it is, God is with us. He's faithful. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to Hebrews chapter 11. This whole process and loss that I went through took faith, a lot of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, is a faith chapter. It's examples of the faith. And I would just like to focus on a few verses. Hebrews chapter 11, I'll read a few verses and then we'll talk about them a little bit in a minute. All right? So Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 through 6, first of all. Then I'll go to chapter 12. "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained approval." Verse 3. "By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks." Verse 5, "By faith Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death, and he was not found because God took him. For he obtained the witness that before being taken up, he was pleasing to God." Now here's verse 6. "And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who seek him." Now moving down to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 3 says, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down on the right hand of the throne of God." I trust this morning as we talk about faith that you'll examine your own heart and you'll just think about the fact that God has come to us and he wants a relationship with us. Even though I went through this hard time, I'm a tough cookie sometimes. Probably you are too. Maybe you have a lot of determination and you work hard and you'll do whatever it takes to fix up your home, or you'll go to school, you'll go to work, you'll say, "I can get through this." But we need to be reminded of the fact that nothing apart from God can really happen in our lives. One commentary has said that faith starts with believing in God's character, that he is who he is. God is. The other thing is that faith continues to grow with believing in God's promises. And no matter what we're going through, my friend Martin died at the age of 58, and I could hardly accept it. I'm a missionary kid from West Africa. My mom and dad had the Bible. I was raised on the Bible, and I've heard, "But it's without faith it is impossible to please him, and all you want to tell me about the Bible." But when I lost Martin, it was really tough. So I went through the grieving time, and I said, "God," and I normally don't tell anybody that a missionary would ask this question, but I said, "Hey God, what were you thinking? Why did this happen?" But he already knew I was thinking it, so I wasn't being insulting to God. But I said, "God, now what? I lost a great partner. Is there something better?" Martin was really gifted. He would come with me. We would get on the airplane. We'd go to these small villages. We'd go by boat. And they would visit with him, and they would visit with me. And whenever anything would happen in the villages and so forth, they would be asking me for something, a gift or whatever it was. Martin would pull me aside, and he'd say, "Hey, Dwayne, these guys are thinking about some crazy idea. Don't listen to them. Just do what we were planning on doing." Isn't that good to have a friend like that? Well, as we go through life, we're going to face challenges. And our faith is going to be stretched. Our faith is going to be stretched. Sometimes we experience success in life. We have a good education. Many of us have a great education. Aren't we blessed with our education? Some of you are going to good schools and colleges. You have a satisfying job. It pays the bills. Drive a nice car. It's air conditioned, got good tires on it. We have our routines and schedule, and we say nothing's wrong. So life is good. We're comfortable. In America, they have some very important places. One of them is Costco. They don't have them in Vanuatu, you know? So we're blessed. The other one for any of us that tinker is Home Depot or Lowe's. If you can't find it in those places, we don't need it, you know? But Vanuatu has nothing like that, you know? Nothing. So we are so blessed. I go through culture shock, okay? I get off the plane, we come to America, and, you know, after the first week or two, then I just say to my wife and whoever I'm with, "It's time for me to walk through Costco for a while. I'm going to go see what's happening in Costco." And they, you know, you can be overwhelmed going through all these aisles. One, two, you know, they move stuff around. We get back, and they're making things that nobody's ever thought of before, and it's new stuff, you know? Home Depot is the same way. They're changing all the things that we used to, you know, used to be standard. You know, the electrical outlet boxes, the wires and all this stuff. There's not even the same kind of hammers that we used to buy, you know. But things change. My favorite tool is a Makita cordless drill. If you can't fix it with a drill, then we'll go for a hammer and we'll figure out how to fix it from there, you know. Or a grinder. A grinder works, you know. But life is good, right? But it sure wasn't good for me when I lost Martin. And so as I've shared, you know, some people, as I shared about the loss, about Martin being gone, maybe your family is going through some struggles. Maybe your kids are a little bit further away from you, not as close to God or not relational as that you wish they were. You know? Maybe there's you're having a dispute or a discussion with your wife or your husband or something that you're not really getting along. You're not hitting on all cylinders. It's tough. It's tough. Put yourself in the shoes of an Vanuatu person and a family. They live on a remote island. Their meat is fish. They go to the ocean every day to get some fish. Their housing is a small bamboo grass roof shelter, and they don't have a job. You know how they live? They grow all the food they can basically eat in a 1-acre piece of ground. And of course, there's no good churches, and there's no Bibles. You know? We really have it made. So what must their faith in God be like? When I'm with them, and I'm walking around with them, you know, when you're with people, they can't see what you're thinking, you know? So I'm walking around with them, and I'm thinking, I wonder what they think about God. I mean, they don't even know where Jerusalem is. They don't even hardly know that he was born in Bethlehem. What's Bethlehem, you know? And they don't even know about the Reformation, all the history that the church has been through. And we have what we have. Do they resent us? Do they know we love them? Do they know that Jesus loves them? What must their faith be like if their food crop doesn't grow and they say, well, there's nothing they can do about it? They can't ask for more water. They can't make any big changes. They don't have any money. We wonder about their faith process. But one thing that I've learned through this pain, all right, one thing I've really learned after Martin passed away is that God, in his mercy, wants us to do something. this morning, if I read the verse, "And without faith it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him." He is the rewarder of them that him that diligently seeks him. Here's another, it says, this version says, "And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him." Well, when we go through trials, we really don't sincerely want to seek him. But when I've been through a lot of situations, I just said, "Lord, I don't know what to do that Martin's passed away. How do I continue on these islands that are so complicated with different denominations of church? You know, the Catholic Church is strong, the Anglican Church is strong, but the gospel is not preached well. Why would Martin have to go to heaven? Why was it his time?" You know? So I prayed and said, "God, just help me to give me grace and understanding." There's another thing I did, and you and I can do the same thing. We have Bibles. So I decided to start reading in the Old Testament in the book of Joshua and Judges and 1 and 2 Samuel and 1 and 2 Kings. You know what I found? Read the Bible plenty of times, but I found that God was always present and provided for the Israelites. He was always there. He gave them judges. He took away their reign. He gave them back reign. He gave them judges. He gave them victory over their enemies. And he gave them food and the promised land. And God says, "Dwayne, there's nothing you don't have. You know, there's nothing." So through prayer, through reading of the Bible, and through reading some books on grief and sadness, God is helping me with this process. So maybe, I hope that this, our message this morning about faith, can be an encouragement to you and make you think about what you're going through. No one knows exactly what you're going through. No one can see your mind. They don't know your heart. But in reading through the Old Testament and reading, God says, "I want you to take action. I want you to take action." So with Martin's death, I prayed and said, "Okay, Lord, what do you want me to do about Vanuatu?" And he says, "Dwayne, I want you to take back as many study Bibles as you can take back to Vanuatu. I want you to take back." I said, "Lord, I don't really want to do something like that. It's a lot of work. And, you know, I have to pack these books and these Bibles in a container, and it's a long ways from Vanuatu. It's just more easy if I just go there myself, you know." God says, "Nope. This is what I want you to do, because these people need the Word of God. You have everything you need here." So we've been going around and visiting our churches and talking with our friends and those that help us to stay in Vanuatu. And we're sharing the need to raise money for study Bibles. And the company that makes these study Bibles is willing to give us these study Bibles at 65% off. Can you believe it? A good study Bible. So our goal is to take 200 study Bibles back to Vanuatu the end of March. And so far we have about 150 of them. You know, the funds have come in so we can take 150 study Bibles back. And our goal is 200. So it's coming step by step. All of us face times of challenge. We all do. We lose something, we lose a family member, something breaks, we have a car accident, and you don't know what's going to happen next. You really don't. But if we don't do the next thing, you know, do the next thing, when God says, by faith, you know, by faith, Abel and Enoch and all these people got to know, walked with him, that's what he wants us to do, by faith. And your story and your journey is different than all the rest of ours. Here's what we have to come back to in our hearts. First of all, by faith, it is impossible to please him unless we sincerely seek God. And then, in chapter 12, it says that, "Therefore, Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, all right? The sin that so easily trips us up. You know, we're surrounded on many, many sides by challenges. But I know through the experience that God took me through, I've only lost two people in my life so far. One is my dad, and he was really special to me. And he was a hard worker, and he wasn't afraid of projects and whatever he had to do to be a witness, and he was faithful to us as a family. You probably have a good dad. Hopefully, you have a good mom and you have a good relationship. But when you lose a loved one, it really, does it ever knock you off your feet? Do you ever, you really struggle with it. If you haven't lost someone, oof, brace yourself, you know. But God is faithful. But he wants us to come to him. He wants us to get into his word, draw an eye to him, and then he's going to tell us what the next step is. If you don't know what he wants you to do in your life, it's a little bit fuzzy and so forth, it's because he's waiting for you and I to draw closer to him by faith. And that's what the people all around us need. All around us. No matter what you're facing, other people in Wasco are facing some of the same challenges. They need encouragement. They need a blessing. You think about Vanuatu. Vanuatu, a remote island. You get on a plane in Los Angeles and you fly to Fiji. After a layover in Fiji, you fly to Port Vila. That's the capital. And then where we live, we get on another plane and we fly another hour up to another island. And we're with poor people. But our job is to be a blessing. Our job is to encourage them. How could I, if I was discouraged by Martin's death, how can I be an encouragement to our church? So God has just made himself known to me. He's blessed us, and he's given us hope and joy to be able to go back. So in the Sunday school class, I passed out prayer requests. If you would just pray for us as we go back to Vanuatu. One of the things that, as I close, here's what we have to fall back on as Christians. In our hearts, you know, God sees our hearts. He wants a relationship with us. He wants us to believe that, you know, we need to believe that God really does exist. I appreciated the prayer this morning that said that we experienced God this week through nature. It really stormed. The more rain, the better, I figure. It's okay if it washes out a few places. Let it rain, God, you're in control. There's nothing that man can do to control that rain. In Vanuatu, we get 15 to 24 feet of rain a year. So we see God's power through rain. And every time it rains, I say, God is watering his garden. God is watering his garden. It's really green in Vanuatu, so it's hot and humid half of the year. So it's okay. The first thing, God wants us to know that he really exists. The other one is, believe that God really does care. Believe that God really does exist. Believe that God really cares. No matter what we face, if we have an accident with our car and bang the front end of that up and we're disgusted about it, he cares. He really does. And if a kid, you know, gets hurt in school, comes home sick, we're frustrated, but he already knew it was going to happen. He cares. The first thing he wants us to do is come to him. Most of the time, we think, well, we're going to call 911. But God is the first 911 that we should call. He is. He's the first 911 we should call. He cares for us. And finally, believe that God rewards those who sincerely seek him. Have you ever been shortchanged by God? Is there anybody that raised their hand and say, God's cheated me out of all this? No. I'm going to tell you a secret. I'm getting older. You're not supposed to talk about how old you are, but I turned 60 this year. And we first became missionaries back when we were 32 years old, and we were supported by this church now for probably 30 years. All right? But in my 60 years of life, God has never shortchanged me. Never. So we want to be an encouragement to you. I hope that as we've looked at this passage this morning about faith, and as I've told you the story about Martin, that God will speak to your heart. You'll let him speak to your heart. Whatever pain you're going through, whatever sickness you have or whatever it is, just give it to God and ask him, what action do I need to take? Because most of the time, we can't solve our problems in front of a television. It's not going to fix it. We're going to get some kind of information, but God has something he wants us to do, whether it's to go see a neighbor, whether it's to get busy doing this or that, but God will show us what he wants us to do. Thank you for letting us be with you this morning. This morning after the service, well, there's going to be a luncheon, so whoever wants to stay and visit us, with us as missionaries, we're available to answer any questions, to be an encouragement to you. And if we can challenge some, if you want to be a missionary, come ask us. We'll tell you all about it. We'd be glad to encourage someone to follow the Lord Jesus. Before we're dismissed, let's close in prayer. Would you be willing to stand and let's close in prayer together? It's been a good service. I enjoyed the singing. Let's bow our heads and close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for this worship service that we could have here. We pray that you, by faith, that you'll speak to each one of our hearts, that we'll come to you in sincerity, and that you'll guide us. Lord, we pray for everyone that's standing this morning, that as they commit their hearts and their lives to you, as they surrender, that you'll speak to them, speak to each one of us, that we might serve you faithfully, that we might surrender and give you all we have, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.